anyone can tell you the news.
Sherlock, Diamond is sucked.
Mark Zuckerberg will end up and it's going to be a face without the book.
Without the face.
Hey, Megan, how are you?
Now they're chipping away at the normalization of pedophilia, and the left is embracing this type of behavior.
We welcome Dinesh D'Souza.
I know I ticked him off. In a certain sense, it's a giant up yours to Obama, and that's why the left is freaking out over it.
Jack Kennedy and LBJ, Clinton, and the double standard from the left.
Yeah, I love how the left does nothing but push the most bizarre practices down our throats and up our tailpipes.
It takes a real man to tackle the hot issues that really matter.
Michael Hart is the man of this house.
Welcome to the Michael Hart Show.
Yeah. It's been a while since we have been together, but we are together again. You're listening to The Heart of America with your host, Michael Hart, right here on the Heart of America Broadcasting Network. It is the fifth day of December 2019. An awful lot going on here lately, which is just kind of gotten in the way of the holidays and football games and family gatherings and all kinds of festivities. We've just gotten a little bit, let's just face facts, lazy, because we've got so many other things that are going on as well. An announcement that we made last time we were together, one of the things that has kind of slowed us down here in our pitch lately is that we will be returning to the terrestrial signals sometime in the next 30 days or so. For those of you that are familiar with the terrestrial program of old, it will not be on the same radio station, so it won't have exactly the same coverage area, but you'll always be able to listen to us live via the Heart, H-A-R-T, Heart of America website. Doing some revamping on it, and a few folks have had some problems with it. So if you're trying to get over there, for whatever the reason, it won't just load heartofamerica.net because it has to do with the new SSL certificate software and all this kind of stuff we're going to have to change out. All you have to do is type in www.heart, H-A-R-T, www.heartofamerica.net, and it will let you through. Go check it out if you're not listening to us there online. A lot of things that are up there. There's a lot of new additions to the speaking page. When you do go over to the website, there's not a player for this program on the home page. You've got to go over to the podcast radio tab. And when we go back to a terrestrial signal, we will be broadcasting every single day live at heartofamerica.net. Some old faces and voices and names that you might remember, such as Scott Beeson, also be joining us as well as we do a soft rollout here in the month of December, and then we'll be full wide open sometime in January. So that's a little bit of the updates of things that are going on with us. Again, for those of you that have just tuned in, we will be returning to the terrestrial tower here in the next 30 days or so. The agreements are already in place, and we'll be on the morning locally from 7 until 9 Central Standard Time. All right, been an awful lot going on since the last time we actually spoke. Oh, by the way, a real quick show note. Megan Barth is not going to be joining us today. Megan has actually been traveling. She texted me at 2:55 this morning that she was exhausted and she would not be able to join us today. She was going to be our 9 o'clock guest, but we're going to be hanging out today with Dan Wass. Dan's got a brand new book coming up, and Dan is going to be sharing the details on that in just a moment. And one of the things I also want to talk about with him and you, by the way, with the number being 929-477-3761, the Russia investigation is running on retreads. Kamala Harris is out. Will Bloomberg surge? Joe Biden seems to be channeling his inner Epstein. Elizabeth Warren is sucking it up with Planned Parenthood. And the favorite of the Better Mayo Club, Mayor Pete, can't seem to capture any ground. So what does the future look like for the Democrat Party? Well, we're going to take your calls. And Dan Wass, author of Good Gun, Bad Guy. And we've got Good Gun, Bad Guy number 3 coming up any day now. Is going to be here to help sort it out and tell us about the latest book, which is just being released in the next day or so. And we welcome Dan into this edition of the Michael Hart Show right here in the Heart of America Broadcasting Network. How are you, Dan?
Hey, I'm doing great, Michael. Thanks for having me on your show. And I hope everything's going well for you there in Alabama. And it's all good over here. It's all good.
Yeah, things are going well. The weather has probably not been, you know, quite the way it is there in New York. And, of course, you know, we had a big football game here this past weekend and barely survived that as being an Auburn fan, and a very contentious and controversial game. But it was fun. And then, of course, the holidays and, yeah, you know, we're getting ready to go back to a terrestrial tower. I'm trying to get my children's book out. You've got a brand new book out. We're trying to get our speaking business, you know, back up and running and doing what we've been doing all along. So many irons in the fire. You know, I need a staff. I need people, Dan.
Yeah.
But that notwithstanding,
the rat race, it's tough. Yeah, I hear you. It's like there's a lot to do, you know, when you have a, you know, it depends on how big your staff is and how many people you have assisting you. But there's still a lot to do. You're doing everything from video editing to, you know, producing videos and doing the book stuff and radio and TV, and it's crazy. So I understand, man, but I know you'll do it because I just know how you are. I know your persistence, and I know that you won't stop. So
well, I have a passion and love for it anyway. But I got to tell you that watching what's going on, and I want to talk in just a moment about the third edition in your book series. But you know, in looking at Washington D.C. and what's going on, the Russia investigation. You know, Harris dropping out, now Bloomberg's in. Hillary doesn't know what she wants to do. Apparently she's doing the Howard Stern I'm Not a Lesbian tour. And we've got so many other things that are just going on. You can't keep your – I think that's one of the reasons, Dan, that I feel so unbelievably overwhelmed, because there's just so many things going on in the news cycle right now. And, you know, Joe Biden continues to just – I mean, it's like lays awake at night looking for gaffes to make. This whole thing – I mean, you know, you've got this guy who's testifying yesterday, Turley, who's a damn, you know, liberal Democrat who was appalled at what's going on. They bring him in as a prime dog witness, and he's appalled at the impeachment process. And, of course, you've got the Supreme Court hearing gun legislation. It's almost too much we can't even compartmentalize it anymore. But one of the things that I kind of wanted to get your thoughts on today, because the desperation of the Democrat Party is such that it seems like that they are unraveling at a breakneck pace. And, you know, when I put that idea together yesterday for today's program, and then I wake up today to another idiotic story of Representative Al Green. Now, he is very pro impeachment, but now he rebuked his colleagues in a speech on the House floor because nobody that was testifying was a person of color.
I know. Well, yeah, they can bring race and sex and gender into everything, and because that's what they run on. You made a great analogy here when you said they're running on retreads. Now, if people because if people don't understand what a retread is, it's basically take an old ratty tire and you glue a new cover on it, right? They have some way of attaching a new tread onto an old tire. And what happens is that's why when you're driving down the highway and you see those pieces of tire, you know, laying there on the side of the highway, they're retreads. And what happens is they undo themselves and they come apart. That's exactly what the Democrat Party is doing. They've taken an old ratty tire, an old, you know, ideology that's just not working. They're desperately trying to push their liberal progressive ideas onto America. It's just not working.
Right.
So what they're doing is they're trying to put a new face on it, and in the process, they're trying to get rid of our president, who is doing just the opposite. He's upholding constitutional rights. He's building our economy. He's building our military. He's protecting our borders. He's doing all the great things that you would want a president to do. But yet, in order for them to make their old ratty tire look good, they need to, you know, they need to do all these terrible things and try to get rid of him. So, I don't know. I don't think it's going to work. Do you, Michael? Do you think it's going to work for them?
No.
Because it just looks ridiculous to me.
I think they might end up getting an impeachment out of it. I mean, I really truly do. And, you know, almost to a degree, you know, somebody had mentioned, I think it was Glenn Beck yesterday mentioned that, you know, they might even get a censure out of this. And a censure would actually be more beneficial to their cause because it would look like a victory for the Democrats because they're not going to get one out of impeachment. And a censure in terms of his political legacy would be every bit as damning as a failed impeachment attempt. And so, you know, they may very well go down that track. But, you know, there's just no support for the effort, and the and support in the House is waning as well. And you got to bear in mind here, Dan, is that, you know, you've got, you know, Klobuchar and, well, we had, you know, Harris and then Cory Booker and Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders. If they go into an impeachment proceeding and it gets volleyed over to the Senate, McConnell could hold the Senate in session through November of next year and keep these people completely off the campaign trail. That's how ill-advised this entire thing really is. Just from a pragmatic perspective, it doesn't make any sense to continue this charade for no other reason than it damages the top tier of the Democrat field for 2020. Now, maybe that's some kind of an intention to clear the way for Michael Bloomberg. But, you know, I certainly would doubt it. But it's so unbelievably ill-advised that, you know, because it's not going to affect Adam Schiff. It's not going to affect Gerald Nadler. But it is going to affect the 2020 candidates. And what's really interesting about this, and I wanted to get your perspective, and, you know, and because of the book coming out, I thought we could kind of make this analogy. But you look at the attempts by the Democrats to impeach a president that they almost, even if successful, couldn't get out of office before his term expired anyway. And then we end up with Mike Pence. I don't think this thing, you know, they thought that through as well. But isn't it interesting to note that many of the strategies and tactics that we see them use to remove Trump are some of the same tactics and benign strategies that they have used to remove weapons from the hands of American citizens? It's the same kind of you know, conjecture. It's the same kind of intellectual malfeasance, of changing the narrative, of using falsehoods, allegations, and accusations. And every damn time they do it, it falls short.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they use, you know, they're using the same, you're right, they're using the same exact strategies on an overall Democrat basis as they do on, in a microcosm, which is the gun conversation. So they'll use, you know, they'll demonize, well, they demonize the opponent is one of their strategies. So they'll do anything they can to demonize President Trump and any of his supporters. It's just some of the things that they say. And they'll also try to create the popular table where if you're over here, yeah, that's why they brought those professors in yesterday to right. I guess, testify. I guess you call it testify. But because Democrats they pride themselves on being intellectually, brilliant. They think they're brilliant. They think they're smarter than everybody else. And the way that they measure that is through education, through college and things like that. So people who don't, you know, who haven't spent a lot of time in college and don't have, you know, a lot of letters after their name, the idea is to make them feel inferior. So that's why those professors were brought in, because here come the smart people coming in to tell you what, you know, what the real deal is. So that's part of it, and that's part of their popular table strategy. They want, you know, you to feel like if you're not with them, you're of the minority. You're no good. Your voice is irrelevant. So then they'll use fear.
Well,
they'll also use fear and hate and other strategies too.
Well, I find it to be interesting that we've had the gun conversation as it relates to whether it's confiscation or whatever the case may be. We've been having that, you know, since before I could drive a car, and I'm almost 60 years old. It kind of goes back to the same thing with the climate change debates that we've heard over the course of the last, 35, 40, 50 years as well. And, you know, when global ice age doesn't stick, we defer to global warming. And then when global warming doesn't work, it's climate change. And then it's,
well, there's some other ones in there, too.
Oh yeah.
There was some other. What about don't forget Acid Rain? Remember that one?
Oh yeah. Wait a second. What about Killer Bees? Let's not forget the Killer Bees.
Well, I'm a little bit younger than you, but not much. And I remember in the 70s when I was a kid, they were talking about, you know, the Ice Age and all this stuff. And, you think, oh, my God, what's going to happen? We're going to, you know, the Earth's going to freeze or whatever. And then in the 80s, it was acid rain. You're afraid to go outside if it was raining. You know, they create this fear. And then the 90s came, 90s and 2000 came the global warming. And now they've run out of things. And what else are they going to do? You know, volcanoes erupting next, or they don't really have anything, so they call it climate change. So now that encompasses anything that happens. Oh my God, it's snowing today. Oh my God, the sun is out today. You know, it's a whole ridiculous thing, and never comes to fruition. They've been saying in 10 years for the past 40 years.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that has really compelled me to want to have these conversations with you as it relates to gun control, because I think that people, one thing that you've done masterfully, Dan, in all of your books, is not just laid down the argument, but exposed the strategy. And that's really what this is all about, because it's the same strategy they attempted to use against Brett Kavanaugh. It's the one they're attempting to use with Ukraine. They literally, you know, we've moved from conspiracy to tampering to bribery, you know, and we've got all these, you know, and it's all the same argument. And, you know, just a couple of days ago, the Democrats make this announcement that they are releasing their new Democrat findings in a blockbuster, you know, career-ending, explosive new report on the Ukraine issue. And it's the same crap that they had already said in the hearings 2 weeks prior. It's the same song with a different title. And it's so interesting that all they've done is repackaged it, and nothing from climate change to the gun debate to Russia to Ukraine to Trump, none of it's working. And I don't understand why they can't seem to get their heads around that. And I'm starting to think it might be because what people like you do in terms of exposing their radical agenda, which brings us to Good Guy, Bad Gum. I always get that backwards. But tell us about the book. I know that, you know, Good Gum, Bad Guy 3 is coming out, what, in 2 days?
Yeah, and I'm hoping. I just had contact with the publishing company, and we're still working out a couple little details as far as artwork and some things. But I'm fingers crossed, it should be ready to the public by Saturday. So just a couple days. So anyway, this book is really interesting, and it took me almost 2 years to finish this one, because what it does, it talks a lot about the politics behind the gun grab. So the first book talked really a lot about the mindset of the people and how they're being manipulated, like we talk about. The second book gets more into the media's involvement in the whole gun grab. The third book, Exposing Anti-Gun Politics, really talks about why they do it and what's behind the gun grab from a political perspective. And all the little things that we see all the way from, you know, the top in our members of Congress all the way down to our local level. And I even talk about some of the local gun grabs at a small level, because it shows what our local politicians do, not necessarily because they want to control society, but more often because they've been indoctrinated as well. And now they're at City Hall, you know, passing laws. So it's really interesting, because there's a divide somewhere between our lawmakers in Congress all the way down to our local officials. And there's a line there at some point, and that line moves up and down as to who is pulling the puppet strings and who are the puppets. And I try to define that so people can see what the strategies are from a political perspective and why they do it. So there are chapters in the book. Some of the chapters are anti-gun indoctrination. There's anti-gun cultism. There's political religion. There's rights versus privileges. There's a chapter called Gun Control Gangsters. There's a chapter called Liberal Leverage, Safe Space, Rules of War, and the Cost of Gun Control. There's a whole, so the chapters will really help define why the gun grab, why they try so hard politically.
You know what's interesting is that since we've had everything going on with the Democrats' attempt to pin Ukraine and Biden and Burisma and Hunter on Trump, where has all the gun control debate been? Why has it been so silent? And you know what's interesting is that if the impeachment thing fizzles out, because it is a retread, I think we'll circle back around to one of three things: healthcare, climate change, or the gun debate, because there's a cycle at play here. And it's one of the things I think that frustrates me the most, Dan, with the younger people or the politically naive, is the fact that people that do this every day, whether they're on this side of the microphone or your side of the microphone, we are so – you know, we are looking down. We're taking that 360-degree perched view and can look down and see the cycles actually repeating themselves over and over and over again. And then you get these young, politically indoctrinated or, you know, politically, like I said, naive people that are jumping on the train, you know, midway through its route and thinking that the stop that they got on the bus at is the very first stop, without realizing this train's been in and out of the station for years. And you can apply that to gun control or the political narrative or impeachment. Hell, the Democrats have attempted to impeach every Republican president since the 50s. And if people don't understand that or realize that, you know, they can't see that the strategies that you're talking about in your books are the same ones they apply to everything that they do. But if they're so important, if climate change, for example, is so imminent, why are we worrying about impeaching Donald Trump?
Yeah.
We're all going to be dead in 9 years anyway.
Yeah, and it's frustrating to watch people fall for it. That's the thing, because once you recognize this, like you and I do, we see the strategies, we understand what they're doing, we watch the manipulation, and we say, oh, I get it. I know what they're trying to do. And you watch the things that they say and what the media, how the media supports it, and you watch people fall for it. And you go, knowing what we know now, it's hard to believe that people can be that manipulative or manipulative. Bull. Is that a word, Michael? What's the word I'm looking for? Manipulated, I guess.
Hey, this is the home of malapropping, so you go for it. You make up any word you want.
I'm going to make them up as we go. But you wonder how people can be so manipulated when you see this stuff clear as day. But we have to, unfortunately, we have to watch generations go through the same stuff over and over. You know, I thought we as human beings were more intelligent than animals because we're able to teach our young, you know, teach our young to teach. It seems like with this type of stuff, people have to learn it all over again, every generation, and it's frustrating to watch.
Well, you know, circling back to climate change or gun control for that matter, if these things are as imminent and pressing as the Democrats want us to believe, why are we wasting our time with these proceedings? Why are we not having trials and hearings and committee meetings on Capitol Hill right now about environmental regulations? Why are we not talking about the elimination of the Second Amendment? Why are we not having hearings if gun control and the gun issue is so overwhelming? Because you know something? You are more likely going to die by gunfire than anything Donald Trump is ever going to do. You know, I keep having these conversations with people, and I try to get them to understand that somebody who's a member of your city council or happens to be a circuit court judge or your local county sheriff, that person has more impact on your life than any president of the United States ever will. So, with people dropping like flies in Chicago and people, you know, that are going to be frozen solid in the next 9 years or whatever the case may be, why are we wasting our time? Why are we not having these big conversations, these hearings on Capitol Hill, instead of talking about a man who they're now accusing, you know, of bribery? Of course, you know, it was extortion, and then it was collusion, it was everything else that it was. If all these other issues are so damn pressing, why are we wasting our time with this one? Because first off, number one, you know, he's going to be out of office perhaps in no more than 5 years. So we're going to wait five more years and then have a four-year window to eliminate Alexandria Cortez's ice age? I don't understand how. What I don't understand is how much of a DA you have to be to not see that strategy. Everybody keeps screaming about, you know, the world's going to freeze and people are dying and we got babies over here and we got mommies and we got immigration and we got walls and we got all, you know, kids in cages and all these. But we're talking about Donald Trump and Ukraine.
Yeah,
now,
because
what impact does that story have on the average person's daily life? None. But climate change and gun control and babies and immigration and abortion and healthcare certainly would. So why are they wasting their time on this? Because it's a big frickin' show.
Yeah. Yeah, and the reason people follow it is because they're on a team. They've picked a team now. You got to understand, I mean, when you watch young liberals, young liberal progressives. They are committed to whatever cause du jour, I call it the cause of the day, the Democrats are pushing, because they've committed themselves to that team. And I think it looks to me more like a team sport than anything, in a lot of respects. And once they commit to that team, they'll fight for anything that team supports. And so whether or not it makes sense, that's why you can watch these. I've seen, you know, interviews where people are interviewing, you know, people who support abortion or whatever the cause is. And when you give them logic, they get mad. They get angry because they don't always have a way to defend that logic, you know. And so they don't care, though, that it won't change their mind. That's the point I'm trying to make here, is that it won't change their mind. It won't make them switch teams. They just double down. They get angry. That's why we're seeing such an uprising of hate and anger and violence coming from the left, because they're not winning. They know it, and they're frustrated as hell because they've committed to their team, but they don't have the tools that they need to win the battle. The argument. So
it's actually a very, very good point.
Well, you know, it's just that you can watch it and you can look at it through a logical perspective, and you just have to, first you laugh because you don't understand how they can act that way, and then you cry because you realize that, man, this is really affecting our entire country, you know.
Well, you know, it certainly is, and there's even been some commercials, radio commercials locally about, you know, certain organizations that are producing these training sessions and whatnot for people to be able to survive the holidays, politically speaking.
Yeah.
You know, and I look at this stuff and I go, yeah, you know, the national discourse really has been destroyed by a bunch of, you know, self-serving sycophants. But the analogy that you make about it being a team sport, I think is spot on. And I think they're so heavily vested in it. And coming off, you know, not to use a local reference, but pardon me, coming off this past weekend's Iron Bowl here in Alabama, between Alabama and Auburn University, you know, very contentious. And although, you know, I don't want to make a hostile comparison between the left and the right, because it's just not true. You know, Auburn and Alabama fans love going at each other, but at the end of the day, when it's over, and then it's getting over with life.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is so funny that, you do see these comparisons, and then, you know, bad calls, bad plays, coaching, you know, mistakes, and calling up the coach and wondering why, you know, he's made certain decisions, and why didn't we put this player in, or why did we take that player out, and kind of second guessing the whole thing. And it doesn't matter really how the game gets played. You know, if you're on the losing side, there was too many holds on from the opposition. And if you're on the winning side, you crush the other team, even though you only beat them by 3 points. So you're right. I mean, there's an emotional attachment to this story that it really does feel like a team sport or a blood sport. And then you bring in the great unwashed that don't really know what they're looking at, because they're, you know, they're politically so naive that they can't see it for exactly what it is. And then on top of that, to add insult to injury, these people vote. It's almost like at the end of the day, yeah, you've watched Dancing with the Stars or The Voice or whatever. Now get your cell phone out and text your vote to BR549 about who you think just won the event. And that's what we've turned America into, because of bullshit, yeah, like this. Pardon my French.
Yeah, it's true. And even the team that's not winning at the moment will convince themselves that they are. You know, and so they'll go out and they'll vote. You know, this is why we watch people coming from California, moving from California to Texas. That's the big migration that's happening in our country. It's California to Texas, and the reason they move is because they don't like the laws there. They don't like the situation, and it's Democrat run. It's you know, poverty in the streets and drugs and overreaching laws that restrict people from doing. You can't have plastic straws. Just all this ridiculous liberal stuff that they create, they vote for it. And I gotta admit, it happens here in my state of New York too. It's almost just as bad as California. And I certainly don't vote for it. But what happens is the people who vote for that, they ruin their state, they ruin their cities, and they ruin their counties. And then when they realize they don't like it there anymore, they move to Texas, or they move to Florida, or they move somewhere else, Alabama, yeah, and then they vote for the same policies that they ran away from. It's because Democrat is their team, blue is their team, and no matter what, they stick with their team. So I don't know what we have in us as human beings that causes us to stay that loyal amidst such obvious destruction and failure, but we have that in us, and we stick with, mm-hmm, our team. It's some sort of human trait. So it's like I said, Michael, it's frustrating, but at least if we can see it, we can start to maybe do something about it.
Well, you know, it's funny, and Dan, I'm going to take a real quick break here in just a moment. Can you hold on to the other side, because I want you to talk
sure
to
thing.
A couple of
yeah.
other callers. Okay, but you know, before we go to break, it's kind of funny. I was watching, I want to say it was Terminator 2 the other day, and what was his name? John Connor is talking to Terminator, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and the conversation goes along the lines of, is it too late for us, you know, as a human race to survive? And the Terminator said to John Connor, you humans, it's in your DNA to destroy yourselves. And I really do think there's an aspect of that at play here. I really do. I think that there are certain people in this country that they will, they will do anything in order to win. The truth be damned, the future be damned, their lives be, it doesn't matter as long as we win.
Because winning.
Let's take a real quick break. Coming up.
Sure.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Well, because winning says something about them personally. They're the winner. They're on the winner team, winning team. It means something about them personally. That's why they're willing to do it.
That's a good point. Y'all stick around. We're coming right back. Dan Wass is with us. Also, give us a call at 929-477-3761. You're listening to The Heart of America on the Heart of America Broadcasting Network. We'll be right back.
Mm-hmm. Polo Boy. Oh my God.
Polo Boy, BK Boy. This thing is credit, but it's debit.
It's debit.
Hit that shorty once and I forget it. Big boss, you better recognize. Might go Rick Ross with the curly fries. Sippin' Hennessy or Dirty Sprite. Doing 180 down the Tom Pies.
Heart of America and the Michael Hart Show is brought to you in part by the Unknown America Project. Unknown America, myths and little-known oddities about the greatest nation on earth, explores many of the falsehoods and fallacies and revisions in American history that impact the beliefs and the thoughts of many people in this country today. So if you'd like to learn some of the most enduring myths that have been perpetrated on the American public for the last 100 plus years in this country, go check out the book at heartofamerica.net. That's heartofamerica.net. And pick up a copy of Unknown America. It comes out to you absolutely no shipping. It'll be autographed, and we'll even send you a copy of the United States Constitution is our way of saying thanks. So support the Unknown America Project by simply going to theunknownamerica.com, and thank you for your support. The Land Report, the magazine for the American landowner, is a proud supporter of the Michael Hart Show. Currently, they're offering an exclusive subscription price for listeners of the Michael Hart Show. So click on the subscribe button on landreport.com and enter the code HARTSHOW at checkout and receive a one-year discount on America's number one land magazine. You'll get a full year of the Land Report, which normally goes for $59, for only $15. That's a 75% savings off the cover price. Again, that's promo code HARTSHOW at checkout of thelandreport.com, and make sure to check out The Land Report on Facebook if you love land.
It's The Michael Hart Show.
Come again?
The Michael Hart Show.
You know I don't speak Spanish. In English, please.
A liberal dose of conservatism.
How'd you do that? I'm not even mad. That's amazing.
Polo Boy, BK Boy. This thing is credit, but it's debit.
It's debit.
Hit that shorty once and I forget it. Big boss, you better recognize. Might go Rick Ross with the curly fries. Sippin' Hennessy or Dirty Sprite. Doing 180 down the Tom Pies. She on her cell phone, I'm filling up her thighs. What you like? What you like?
Hey, welcome back. You're listening to the Heart of America right here on the Heart of America Broadcasting Network. We have not been with you over the course of the last 8 or 9 days, just we've been dealing with the holidays and amping some things up, preparing for our return to the terrestrial signal. Have no idea when the heck that's going to happen, but you're going to want to listen to this program pretty much via the Heart of America actual website. We're making some changes over there, so we're getting our technology a little jacked up. So if you have any problem, just type in www.heartofamerica.net. But you're going to have to now go over to the podcast radio tab at that point. We'll put up players on LinkedIn and Facebook that you can stay on those platforms and listen to the program. And, of course, there's also a link on the new website for you to sign up for the podcast. When you do, we're not going to email you. You'll get one email when we go live with a hot link to the program. But for those of you that are in Central Alabama in the next few weeks, you'll be able to pick us up on. It's not going to be the old signal that a lot of you are familiar with. It is owned by the same group of people, but it is a somewhat smaller signal with an AM component, but it'll have a real strong internet component as well. And we'll be on with you live every single Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. until 9. And then our old buddy Scott Beeson will be joining us as well. So y'all get ready for that as we continue to try to make some sense and help people realize and make some sense of what's going on in the world around them. Because as Dan has pointed out, the world is completely whack and we can't make any sense of it. And frankly, Dan, I'm a little bit tired of even trying to attempt to do so, because you just can't, you can't fight ignorance with reason. Now, can you?
No, you can't. And I just wish people would see that. And I think as you get older, you start to realize it. What's that saying? If you're not a liberal in your 20s, you have no heart. And if you're not a conservative in your 40s, you have no brain. I think what it means mm-hmm. is that as we get older, we start to actually see the way the world works, and we experience it on our own. We feel it, we touch it, we you know, interact with the world in a different way as we start to get older, with a job and family and kids and all that stuff. So we start to look back and we start to say, see how the liberal policies are very ineffective for the betterment of American life. And we actually start to see how some of it's really just destructive. So we start to change our views. And I hope that a lot of these young people will start to do that sooner rather than later.
Well, you know, what's interesting before we get to the calls is, you know, that quote is attributed to Winston Churchill, although we're not 100% positive it was his. But if you're, again, in your 20s and not liberal, you have no heart. If you're in your 40s and not conservative, you have no brain. It's a brilliant statement, but you know what's really interesting about it is it implies that if you're 40 and you're still liberal, that you are mentally not as educated or stable as you would like to think that you are. And how many people do we see that are of the progressive liberal mindset within the entertainment industry or the sports industry, or even, you know, politically speaking, as it relates to D.C. or even our local politics, that, you know, you've got to be very childlike if you reach that age and you still hold on to your liberal tendencies in the face of proven facts and realities about those beliefs. It's the darndest thing to me.
Yeah, well, there's a difference between, and this is where we see the difference between intellectual, intelligence versus common sense. Common sense is the most important thing. You can have all the, like I said, all the education in the world. If you don't have common sense, you're not going to be able to function in society. And what happens with a lot of the indoctrination that happens in our colleges is that it prevents people from looking at the world with common sense. It gives them new ideas that aren't necessarily, worthy or not necessarily good when it comes to the way we function. So, so the difference between intelligence and common sense.
Right. Let's go out to the phones. Give us a call, 929-477-3761. Hello, Clark. How are you?
Hey, Michael. You doing all right today?
I'm just okie dokie.
Well, hello, Mr. Wass.
Hey, Clark. How are you?
I'm doing great. So, on the common sense thing, there is absolutely no correlation between level of education and how much common sense somebody has. I have spent quite a bit of time at institutes of higher learning and did fairly well there, so can't anybody say I'm sour graping or anything. And there's a lot of people at institutions of higher learning that they just have no common sense. I mean, they're very, they can read something, they can regurgitate it back to you, but if you force them to take a set of facts and then synthesize something from that, they're woefully unprepared to do that with the education that they've received. Oh, so there is that. Michael, looking at this whole impeachment kerfuffle that we've had so far, the Democrats have controlled every bit of the process so far, correct? They get to determine who the witnesses are. They know what the process, or they determine what the process is, what questions can be asked, who can ask them, et cetera, et cetera. And it hadn't gone very well for them so far, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And I think their polling is not going the way they wanted it to go. And Nancy's talking about making an announcement on a vote this morning. I swear, Michael, if the Republicans were smart and they were unified, their next move would be to hold a press conference and challenge Nancy to hold a vote and promise her that she would have enough votes to impeach, because they will all vote yes. And then explain that they're not doing this because they have any desire to remove the president, but they want to take this action from the farce that it is to an actual trial. You think about the position that puts Nancy Pelosi in. If she doesn't vote at that point, when she's been guaranteed, hey, we'll all vote for this. You don't have to have but 15 or 20 Democrats or however many it would take to get to 218. I apologize. I can't remember how many Republicans we have right now. But you just need a handful of Democrats to pass this. You don't even have to have your entire caucus. If she doesn't vote to impeach, look at what that does with the crazy base. She just completely loses them, doesn't she? Now,
I just,
well,
I'm looking at
you're
right
well
now,
aware.
I'm looking at an announcement saying Pelosi calls for a judiciary committee to proceed with articles of impeachment. That was 19 minutes ago from Fox News.
Okay. So if she appeases the base and calls the actual vote where it moves to a Senate trial, then the Republicans get to call their witnesses. They get to control the process. As poorly as this has gone for the Dems when they have total control of it, I don't see it going very well once they've lost control of it, and they probably lose everybody else. And, you know, why wouldn't the Republicans just go ahead and say put up or shut up?
Because, in my opinion, most of the Republican leadership is quite feckless. And I'm not necessarily speaking about McConnell because, you know, one of the things the Democrats, I think, are afraid of is a couple of different things. As you're well aware, everybody in the House of Representatives is up for reelection this year, and some of those seats are in jeopardy. If this thing finds its way into the Senate, you know, we still got Klobuchar and Sanders and Warren, you know, and Cory Booker in this thing, although I expect Cory Booker to drop out any day now. But if you have a viable candidate in the Senate during an active proceedings from impeachment, that person can't be on the campaign trail. Pelosi would have to know this. Pelosi is going to have to have that conversation with Chuckie Schumer about whether or not, you know, we want to vote on this right now and take these people, you know, out of the circulation, if you will, which would be a major boon for people like Michael Bloomberg. Because I don't think Mayor Pete's going anywhere. I just don't think America's ready for that right now. But, you know, taking Elizabeth Warren out of the picture, Cory Booker out of the picture, Bernie Sanders out, I mean, that's a big deal. That's a real big deal because Joe Biden's not going anywhere. He's going to suck one finger too many before people realize he needs to be in a white jacket with straps. So,
does he
you
not,
know, they've got a – sir?
I'm sorry. Does Joe not remind you of a mentally challenged person with boundary issues at this point?
No, absolutely.
I mean,
absolutely.
Almost or you're just going to have to give him a pass for pension nurses as they go by because he doesn't know any better. I swear. And
yeah.
Poor Hunter Biden. Remember Billy Carter, Michael?
I do.
If Barack Obama took Jimmy Carter's place as the worst president, then Hunter Biden has displaced Billy Carter as the worst related to, I don't know, vice president, president, relative.
Well, you might have to throw old Roger Clinton in there, you know, for an honorable mention.
Well, Roger comes in a distant third, at least to Hunter, I think. I mean, yeah, you're right. Roger was there. Hey, Michael, what are your thoughts on the Horowitz report coming out?
I think it's going to be much ado about nothing, if the truth be told, Clark, because we've actually gotten absolutely nothing out of this proceedings.
Well, I think two things about the Horowitz report. I think expect the same kind of thing as we got from the Comey report or announcement or whatever you want to call it on the Clinton emails. It's kind of like Meemaw investigated what the grandson did wrong is going to be the extent of it. But the other thing that is kind of a big deal is Barr/Durham are no longer going to be impeded because there's an ongoing IG investigation, right?
Right.
So that's got to be a thing. I don't know. Maybe we get something out of them and maybe we don't. But, yeah, we're not going to get a whole lot out of the Horowitz thing that's going to amount to much.
This thing has, pardon the expression, Clark, shot its load, and we're going to get nothing else new out of it. It's just, it's time to put the committees aside, either vote or don't vote, or give it up and walk away, take it back to the House. But again, you know, Pelosi's got to consider those seats that are exposed, as well as the possibility of having some of these candidates taken off the campaign trail. So I think what we're going to get is we're going to continue to get report after report after report, hearing after hearing after judicial inquiry, and they're just going to drag this thing on ad nauseum till at the end of the day, three people are watching CNN and five are watching Fox News, and the rest of the world finally figures out this is a bunch of BS. Then you got a bunch of people in Washington, D.C. that all, quite frankly, need to go, because they are not only ruining the impeachment process, they are ruining the electoral or election process simultaneously while pitting half of America against the other side of America, and they don't even know why they're pissed off and angry at each other, because at the end of the day, you got a bunch of damn kids in Washington, D.C. that are throwing a political tantrum for their own gain because they don't like Donald Trump, because one of their biggest supporters and donors flipped sides on them and adopted the political apostasy that they cannot seem to get their heads around, that they got their asses handed to them, and they don't know what to do about it, so they're going to kick and scream until somebody pulls out a belt and whips that ass. How about that?
Well, I can't disagree with any of that. You know, to me, the big irony there is I think Donald Trump is still Donald Trump. He just changed the letter behind his name,
mm-hmm.
and that's all that really changed. Now, if he had run as a Democrat, I wouldn't be switching party affiliation or anything, but I'd be all over what he was doing if he was doing the same things that he's doing now.
Right.
Does that make sense?
I agree. Yeah, it does. It does.
One last thing, Michael. How much of the ceremony and stuff did you see yesterday?
How much of the what?
The three and the one college professors from law school.
Almost none of it. Everything I'm getting right now, I'm reading. I'm not even wasting my time with Washington anymore.
Okay, so Pamela Carlin, the one from Stanford, she explained that because of the power disparity between Donald Trump being president of the United States and Zelensky being president of the Ukraine, it wasn't just asking for a favor. Because of the power disparity, it was basically a demand. Now, did you look at what happened in Georgia yesterday, Michael, where Governor Kemp
ticked
up? How do you say her name? Is it Loeffler? Loeffler?
I think it's
instead
Loeffler.
Of Collins? Okay, let's go with Loeffler. So President Trump had suggested that Doug Collins would make an excellent senator, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the Republican governor of Georgia that Donald Trump stumped for picked Kelly Loeffler instead. I think maybe Ms. Carlin needs to go to Georgia and explain the power disparities to Governor Kemp and how much more powerful the president is. Or maybe we just need to say that this whole argument that because Donald Trump was president and he may or may not have asked for a favor, it was a demand. Because doesn't the whole thing that just happened in Georgia kind of shoot their argument in the head?
They do that to themselves all the time. Same comments that Gerald Nadler made, you know, back in 1998 regarding impeachment, should not be partisan. They don't seem to understand, but then again, you know, we got corn pop running around out there, and so, you know, that's just the way they roll, Clark. But
I say corn pop was a bad dude.
Yeah, he was. Roaches and blonde hair. Clark, I got to get it back to Dan real quick because I've got a few minutes left.
You wrap it up and let us know when the terrestrial thing's going to happen, and I'll talk to you later.
All right. Thanks, Clark. Appreciate it so much. Having a conversation with Dan Ross, the author of Good Gun, Bad Guy, and we've got Good Gun, Bad Guy number 3 coming out almost any day. Dan, give us a rundown of what we're going to learn in this book compared to the other two and where we can get a copy of it, or can we even pre-order it?
Okay, well, I think what people are really going to get from this edition is they're going to understand more of the politics behind the gun grab and why it's important for politicians to to push for gun control, because ultimately what it is people control. But there's a lot of things that happen within our political, spectrum that people don't really understand. And through the research that I've done, I lay a lot of that stuff out there and help people see, what's going on politically and why such a push. And I also give some strategies on how to talk to anti-gun people and how to better, defeat them in their argument. So people will be able to get this book very soon. Today is December 5th. I'm hoping within a couple days it's ready. So you can go to goodgunbadguy.net and find out when it's going to be available, where it's going to be available. There'll be links at the website. You can also search it on Amazon. The Kindle version is now available on Amazon. So if you search in the Kindle part of Amazon, you can search for Good Gun, Bad Guy 3, and you can get the Kindle version right now as we speak.
And give us a quick idea of what the individual chapters look like, because you've gone – this is the third installment in this series, and – you have gone really, really, really deep in exposing the agenda, and now you're getting deeper into the political side of it. So what are some of the things that when people pick up a copy of Good Gun, Bad Guy 3, are we going to learn that we perhaps would not have learned from the first two?
Well, one of the chapters is called Red Flag Laws, and it's important to understand how dangerous these red flag laws are, so I devoted a whole chapter to it. But what you can see is you can see just how unconstitutional the red flag laws are, and there are 17 states now who have them in place. So just understanding that much of how dangerous red flag laws are, how the government so easily can put these into place, our state governments can put these in place, is important to understand. Another thing is, talk about rights versus privileges and understanding why the Bill of Rights is called the Bill of Rights and not like the Bill of Needs or the Bill of Privileges. There's a lot behind that, because it's the way the way the Bill of Rights works for us is completely different than the way a Bill of Needs would work for us. See, a Bill of Needs can be measured and regulated by someone else, by other people, by legislators. Rights is something that can't be regulated unless they can turn it into a need or turn it into a privilege, which is what they try to do with gun laws and things like that. They're taking a right, turning it into a privilege, government-issued privilege, and then regulating that on law-abiding people, on American citizens, which is wrong, obviously. But what I do is I break down the differences between rights and privileges. So that's chapter two. There's a whole bunch of stuff. There's a chapter called The Rules of War. There's The Cost of Gun Control. That's chapter 11, where I get into a lot of the stuff that happened in Nazi Germany and how it relates. All right. and how it looks very similar to the way Democrats are running things.
Yeah, government-issued privilege, that's just a scary phrase in and of itself. And yeah. I'm just so perplexed why people in this country are so quick and so willing to give their rights away without realizing what they're doing by doing so. It's heartbreaking. It's stunning.
I talk a lot about that, why they're so willing to give their rights away. It's a real interesting thing, and we touched on it today, but it's also in the book. So if people want to understand why it's so easy for them, why we can get into their thought process. What I do in the book is I get into their thought process to help people see what they're thinking. See, because to them, it's okay. It's okay for government to control things, but it comes from a foundational belief structure that's embedded in people. It's the same.
Right.
It comes from the same thought process where I can trip over my own 2 feet on the sidewalk and and justify suing the business that happens to be there. It's a lack of responsibility. It's a sense that there's somebody else's problem. It's not my fault. It's this irresponsible thought process and belief structure that's being indoctrinated into people. And it's there for a reason, because it helps to manipulate people and make them do things much easier than a free-minded person, someone who takes full responsibility of their life. So there's a lot of that stuff in the book. So I unpackage that, which is really interesting stuff. So I hope everybody gets a copy, and I think they'll be very happy.
I hope they will. And where's the best place to pick up a copy?
GoodGunBadGuy.net.
Excellent. Dan, I appreciate it so very much, and we'll be talking again real soon. I don't know if we have a chance to talk again on the air before Christmas. If we don't, I hope you'll have a very happy holiday. I'm kind of in and out trying to get this terrestrial thing dealt with once and for all, but I appreciate your friendship. I appreciate the things you've done. I appreciate the things you do every single day to help educate people in this country, and I'm going to be talking to you real, real, real soon.
Well, thanks, Michael, and same to you. I really appreciate everything you've done, so we'll definitely talk. Thank you.
Thank you so very much. All right, guys, we're going to wrap this thing up. We're going to be back with you probably Tuesday of next week. That is basically the plan. Please tell somebody about the program. We are continuing to grow this thing out. We will be back on a terrestrial signal sometime in the next couple of 3 weeks. So those of you that are local to Birmingham, Alabama, you'll be able to pick us back up there. But you'll also be able to hear that program live on the Heart, H-A-R-T, heartofamerica.net website. If you contact the website or try to go over to that URL and have any issues whatsoever, please let us know. There's some the website itself has some old technology that is supporting it, and we're trying to get that revamped and updated as quickly as we possibly can. But this is a battle that we all need to fight, because people need to realize this country is intellectually being stolen from us, and we've got a bunch of jackaloons up in Washington, D.C., that have absolutely no problem whatsoever changing and rebranding the narrative for the purposes of keeping the electorate and the citizens of this country in line and in check. Don't doubt it for a single moment. The stakes are just that high. It is incumbent upon us to fulfill the desires and the will of the Lord, and to stand up for this country, all that she stands up for, because remember, if America falls, so goes the world, and we definitely don't want that on our watch. Now, do we? You've been listening to the Heart of America right here on the Heart of America Broadcasting Network. Until we meet again.
Coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!